Welcome to the Old Time Beer Show, starring Lonnie Mack and the lovely Moonbeam. This show is brought to you by www.alenuts.com, where it's ale about beer, man. Also brought to you by Brew Your Own Magazine. Get your free copy of Brew Your Own Magazine delivered to your very own door at www.byo.com or www.alenuts.com. And also brought to you by Camel Cigarettes.
Today, more people smoke Camels than ever before.
And now, on to the Old Time Beer Show.
What are you doing there, Lonnie Mack?
I'm making beer, Moonbeam. You know, they're trying to pass that dang prohibition law. If that happens, a fella can't get suds anymore. So I guess I'm gonna have to try and make my own beer now.
And you are doing that on my stove?
Yes, Moonbeam, on your stove.
Well, I guess this is one way to get a man to use a stove. How do you even know what you're doing, Lonnie Mack?
Well, Moonbeam, I'm following your very own grandpappy's beer recipe.
Granddaddy's recipe.
Yes, Moonbeam. Here, I'll read it to you. Beer. 1 can malt, 2.5 pounds sugar, 1 cake yeast, 5 gallons warm water. Put it in stone crock and let stand until it stops fermenting or until it reaches red mark on thermometer.
Wow, I remember his beer brewing days. I can tell you he didn't have very many friends beating down his door for that stuff.
Well, we'll have to wait and see now, won't we?
So what is this probation you are talking about?
That's prohibition, Moonbeam. Prohibition will kill all the thousands of great small breweries that have worked hard all across this land. A man won't be able to have a drink because there won't be a drink to be had in this land. If they pass that 18th Amendment, that darn dry law, mankind as we know it will cease to exist.
What is this 18th Amendment?
Well, here, Moonbeam, I'll read it to you from the headlines. The 18th Amendment states that after 1 year from the ratification of this article, the manufacture, the sale, or the transportation of intoxicating liquors within, the importation thereof into, or the exportation thereof from the United States and all territories subject to the jurisdiction thereof for beverage purposes is hereby prohibited.
I don't understand.
Moonbeam. They think that they can haul off and end all the manufacture, all the transportation, and every sale of every drop of sweat that man has built this country on. That's beer, Moonbeam.
Wait a minute now, are you sure about this? Who started this mess anyway?
I'll tell you who started all this mess, Moonbeam. Women started it. Women started all this mess. No offense to you, my sweet Moonbeam. I've seen you knock back a few. It was all started by the likes of the Women's Christian Temperance Union and the Anti-Saloon League. They all want to take away the very sweat that this country was founded on because they think we are all a bunch of boozers. Well, nothing in that law I read says I can't make my own beer.
Well, that may be so, Lonnie Mack, but still, with all this mess you've made in my kitchen, this looks like it's going to have to be an outside activity from now on. You know, I think I ran into one of those temperance women the other day. After only 2 words from her mouth, I felt like putting my boot up her ass.
A According to a recent nationwide survey, more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette.
Three leading independent research organizations asked this question of 113,597 doctors. What cigarette do you smoke, doctor? The brand named most was Camel. Now, you probably enjoy rich, full flavor and cool mildness in a cigarette just as much as doctors do. And that's why, if you're not a Camel smoker now, try a Camel on your T-zone. That's T for taste and T for throat. Your true proving ground for any cigarette. See if Camel's rich flavor of superbly blended choice tobaccos isn't extra delightful to your taste. See if Camel's cool mildness isn't in harmony with your throat. See if you too don't say, Camels suit my T-zone to a T.
And now, let's listen to the Marine Corps Band as they sing a wonderful melody. Welcome back to the Old Time Beer Show. You know, along about the years of Prohibition, 10,000s of breweries had all but shriveled up and died. Local taverns and saloons that once thrived all turned up their toes. In their subsequent state of revival, only by the virtue of bootlegging, they only exist in the darkest of airs and under conditions of secrecy and smack of the reopened graves. The fluids that they dispense to their thirsty are not without the characteristics of a mortician's preservative. But for now, let's rejoin Lonnie Mack and Moonbeam as they continue their beer brewing adventures.
So what went wrong with this beer, Lonnie Mack? This is the most awful beer you have ever made yet. My gosh, what are you trying to do to me?
Oh no, Moonbeam. You know, this is a great testament to all the great breweries that once brewed beer around the country. Our lack of any ingredients, using old dried up bread yeast, buying old malt syrup from the grocery store, and no hops, I guess it's no wonder I can't make great beer. Hey, Mr. Announcer, would you like to give this beer a try? Oh, no, no. Thank you very much. I'll have to take my chances elsewhere. For now, I'll want to be able to finish this show, Lonnie Mack. But you know, you two can still get great alcohol for medicinal purposes. All you have to do is go and see the right doctor.
The right doctor? Well, that is good to know, Mr. Announcer Guy. Maybe I can stop by the police station on the way there, too. I can tell them how Lonnie Mack keeps trying to kill me with all this infected hooch.
Oh, come on, Moonbeam. It ain't that bad. You must admit, though, we have come a long way since that first batch of swill.
Maybe that was just a bad bottle. As if I've ever tasted a good bottle from you, Lonnie Mack. Let's give one more a try.
What Moonbeam and Lonnie Mack do not know is that I have secretly replaced one of his beers with that of a professional brewer. This scene may be very interesting indeed.
Oh, my gosh. This is the best beer I have ever tasted. What did you do, Lonnie Mack? Steal a bottle from Craig and Jerry of the Brew Bubblers radio show?
Wow. I don't know, Moonbeam. It says Hefeweizen. This is really great. It almost tastes as though I know what I'm doing. Wait, Moonbeam, I do know what I'm doing. See, I told you that I'm a great brewer.
Wait a minute now. I smell something fishy.
Well, I don't smell anything fishy in this beer, Moonbeam. What are you talking about?
No, no, no. Not in the beer. That's the problem. This can't be your beer, Lonnie Mack. It didn't spray my ceiling when you opened it, now did it? I guess you don't remember last week when it sounded like this, do you?
Reminding me of all the bottle bombs. But this is a great beer. I wonder why. That's right, you two. I did replace Lonnie Mack's beer with a beer from Craig and Jerry of the Brew Bubba's radio show. I thought you both finally deserved a great beer to drink. You know, showbiz is hard. Well, Moonbeam, it finally happened. Last night at midnight, January the 16th, 1920, the whole United States is now dry. All breweries, distillers, and saloons will wake up today without that sweet taste of success. This is the saddest day in all of mankind.
Yes, I read that in the paper this morning. There will be bootleggers on every corner. However they add this up, this law will be unenforceable. But still, Lonnie Mack, we don't want those damn revenuers showing up at our door. I don't have boots big enough.
Yes, Moonbeam, but nothing says that we can't make our own beer no matter how bad it is. You know, I read that in some states, if you are caught drunk, those damn revenuers will interrogate you just to find out where you are buying your beer. You know, Prohibition quickly produced bootleggers, speakeasies, moonshine, bathtub gin, and rum runners, all smuggling supplies of alcohol across the state lines. In 1927, there were an estimated 30,000 illegal speakeasies. This is twice the number of legal bars before Prohibition took its hold. Many people made beer and wine at home, and if you couldn't, it was very easy finding a doctor to sign a prescription for medicinal whiskey sold at every drugstore. So for now, let's hear a word from our sponsors, and we'll return to Lonnie Mack and Moonbeam in just a moment.
Figure it this way. Suppose you were in Germany now. Sure, maybe the big battle phase of the war is over, but there's still plenty of dirty fighting ahead. Long, weary slugging. You're standing at what used to be a street corner in a smashed Nazi town, and a GI comes up to you and says, "How's for a cigarette, bud?" Would you give him one? And how you would. Why, you'd even give him the last one in your pack. And that, folks, is the thing to remember when you, cozily here at home, can't get all the camels you want. You are giving your camels to that fighting pal of yours in Germany, or wherever else on the global war map he may be. Yes, it's the service first. Army, Navy, Marines, and Coast Guard, wherever they go in their winning of the war, they have first call on camels.
C-A-M-E-L-S.
The service first.
Emmanuel Campbell, digger, our digger was a boozy beggar who could sink you under the table. Dining Hume can have consumed Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel, and Wickham Simon of the beery swine was just a slosh to Schlegel. There's nothing Nietzsche wouldn't teach about the raising of the wrist. Socrates himself was permanently pissed. John Stuart Mill of his own free will, on hot punch, and he was particularly ill. Wait, as they say, could sing it away. Had a bread and whiskey every day. Aristotle was a backer for the bottle. Hodge was fond of his dram. And Granny Descartes was a drunken fart. I drink, therefore I am. Yes, Socrates himself is particularly missed. A lovely little thinker by the bugger when he's pissed.
Holy cow, Moonbeam. Did you see the latest Brew Your Own magazine? I'm reading a great article about a system that is supposed to make you drool. This month's issue features a system from a guy that built this Brutus 10 that everyone's been talking about.
Yeah, I read all about that system down at the corner newsstand.
This thing is one heck of a mechanized behemoth. I'll bet the war effort would love to get their hands on all that stainless steel. But anyway, Moonbeam, let's get back to the show. Did you know that Prohibition is finally over?
What are you talking about, Lonnie Mack? I don't see any breweries selling beer.
The newspaper this morning says that the 18th Article of Amendment to the Constitution of the United States is hereby repealed. This has been a long time coming, hasn't it, Moonbeam? This morning, December 5th, 1933, a man in Utica, New York, took his first legal drink in over 13 years. You know, this new 21st Amendment that appeals the 18th Amendment won't change how we drink, but it sure will make the conditions that we drink under more reasonable now, won't it? Say, I wonder if they're going to do the same thing to that marijuana law they passed down in Texas.
Sure they will, Lonnie Mack. Once they figure out how much tax money they will make with it, I'll give it a year and we can buy it at the drugstore, too. So does this mean that you don't have to brew any more beer?
No, Moonbeam. I'll still be brewing beer. In fact, I plan on brewing even more now. You know, I was thinking of brewing in the front yard for all to see.
Well, then maybe they should prohibit marriage next. I think I'm going to start a woman's movement right now.
Oh, Moonbeam, now you have drank as much of my home brew as I have. Despite all the bottle bombs, the horrible beers that we once brewed, you have to admit, we have become the hit of the neighborhood.
That's our homebrew, Lonnie Mack. And yes, the late night keg party can be a thing of the past now. You remember that last time we found Johnny Mack flat on his back in the mud?
Yes, Moonbeam, it's our homebrew, sweetheart. You have become a true brew woman. You know, Moonbeam, I see a lot happening in this country for beer again, but I don't see all the thousands of breweries that once were will ever start brewing again. Most of these breweries were stifled and choked beyond business. I wonder what beer in the future will be like. Could it be that only 4 or 5 major breweries will be all that remain from this meddling? It seems to me that this small moment in time will have a profound impact on creativity for many years to come. Could it be that 13 dry years killed a once thriving industry that made an average Joe feel like a worthwhile man? Or could it be that they will regulate a man's shoes next for walking him to a drink? Could it be that they'll regulate a man's means for wanting to satisfy another man's will to have a drink, or relax over a cool beer with a hard-working pal? Or could it be that they will all succumb to revenuers' mighty tax machines, taxing all things good and necessary? Well, let's hope for the best, Moonbeam. And you know, I somehow think we will do our own part in taking back the history that once was. And that's beer, Moonbeam. Well, Lonnie Mack, I would certainly say that you have brought a tear to my eye. And now, I would like to wrap up this old-time beer show with some final words. You know, Lonnie Mack and Moonbeam have their very own website at www.illnuts.com. You know, you can take the time to follow the email links, and please do send them your thoughts on this show. Make sure to include the name of your country as well. And while you are at www.illnuts.com, make sure you do drop by the podcast page and check out all the other fine beer shows, too. Now, Lonnie Mack and Moonbeam, take this show away.
Wow, Lonnie Mack, this has been such a fun show.
Yes, Moonbeam, it really has been a fun show.
So, do you think we will ever do another old-time beer show?
Yes, we will, Moonbeam. Except next time, announcer guy, you better write it so I get all the laughs. Now, let's get out of here, Moonbeam.
Okay, Lonnie Mack.